All right, where do we leave off at last? What, do you not like my voice tonight or something? First the song, now this? You fed up with me already? Yeah? Where do we leave off at?
Last note I got is on verse 15.
Verse 15, all right. James chapter number 1, verse number 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Why is he reminding us not to err? He's basically saying that, like, just like anybody else, verse number 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. It can happen to any single person. Just like over in Galatians chapter number 5, I think it's verse number 1, where he talks about, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, considering thy own self, because it can happen to any person. Just like in verse number 14, any lust, it doesn't matter who you are, how spiritual you are, how long you've been saved, or whatever you have under your repertoire. Nonetheless, it can happen to anybody. Don't err. Don't let it be you. Verse number 17, but every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means that every good thing that you have is because of God. So rather than griping and complaining about what you don't have, just be thankful for what you do have, because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It says there that he's the Father of lights. That would also refer to the lights or stars or angels. With whom is no variableness. He doesn't change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. I believe that's Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 6 or 7. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Hebrews 13, 8. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So how were we begotten? Through the word of truth. So it's like what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 10. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of truth is what begat you in Jesus Christ. Without the Word, without a Bible, without the words of God, there would be no adoption, there would be no salvation, there would be no first fruits, like he says in verse number 18. Verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This is a verse that we should take out of the Bible, because it is not an easy one, especially speaking as a man. It is not easy to do, especially those last three words, slow to wrath. I am the opposite of that. And that is something very difficult as a man to not want to do. I was listening to something today where a guy was talking about is that when there's a problem, the way that women tend to see problems as it's something that they can bond over with their spouse to get through together. And that's how a woman perceives a problem. Whereas when a man sees a problem, he sees it as cancer, and I need to fix it right now. And if I can't fix it, we tend to get upset about it. And that's where the wrath steps in, when we can't fix something right away, because we see problems as it's just an issue that we need to fix, and we need to do it as efficiently and as quickly as possible. The problem is that us men, ladies, we're just giant little toddlers, that if we don't get our way, we tend to just get bent out of shape, and that's where the wrath comes in. And verse number 19 is something that I had to memorize a long, long time ago, and I say it to myself often, because a lot of times we are not swift to hear, slow to speak, or slow to wrath. There is a reason why, the old man used to say this time and time again, there's a reason why God gave you two ears and one mouth. You should listen twice as much as you talk. I mean, I remember years ago getting the opportunity to be around some great preachers at blowouts and go out to meals with them. And, you know, a lot of the guys I was in school with, I was like, well, it'd be really cool to be around guys like, you know, Brother Peacock and, you know, Brother Matheny and all these different guys out there, because, you know, you get to ask them questions. It's like, that's one thing that Brother Matheny, he's a preacher down in, he's just outside of Auburn, Alabama. He said something very profound to me. He told me, young man, he says, don't say anything. He said, if you want to learn anything, do this. Just sit there and listen and try to get as much wisdom from these men as you can. Don't say a word. Unless they talk to you, that's fine. But other than that, just keep your mouth shut and listen. There's a lot of wisdom that came from that, because most of the times in today's day and age, it's all about everybody wants to talk and have a monologue. They want to have a dialogue. They want to be heard. But a lot of times you have to listen. I mean, I've learned this from the short time I've been married now, but there are times that my wife does not want me to talk back. She doesn't want me to give my opinion. She just wants me to listen. Men, we're the complete opposite, though. Men, we don't want to talk about our problems. I mean, it's like this. When we talk about our problems, man to man, it's pretty quick. This is my problem. Sorry to hear that. Rub some dirt on it, you'll be fine. I mean, it's completely different. Whereas, you know, with dealing with ladies, you guys want to just be heard. And that's something that's difficult for men. That's why I think he says, beloved brethren, and there's no females in verse number 19, because I think this is written strictly to men. Let every man be swift to hear. I learned a lot of great things from even Dr. Ruckman or my father or different men I've been around, and that right there is a difficult one. Swift to hear, just listen. Don't overreact to when you do have to listen to something. Take it in and take it with a grain of salt and dwell on it for a little bit. You know, a lot of times your first instinct when you have to listen to something that you might not agree with is the young man, the carnal man, if you will, the natural man wants to rip someone's head off and jump down their throat and answer right away. Sometimes you need to just sit back and listen and consider what's being said. Also, slow to speak. You should be very careful on how you address your conversation from day to day. Slow to wrath. I mean, that verse right there, that will take me a lifetime to conquer. And I don't even know if I'll make it all the way through life with trying to conquer all three of those things. That is a very easy verse, and yet it's a very hard verse to conquer, because that goes against every nature of my being. Verse number 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Why can you not be wrathful? Well, because it doesn't work the righteousness of God. When you're a hothead, when you get angry and you get blown off the rails, if you will, really quickly, it doesn't. The end result of you having wrath does not usually end up you doing the right thing. So why do you have to cool the jets? It's like Dr. Ruckman, I can't tell you how many times he said it in class. If you're going to be a successful Christian, you need to learn to have a warm heart and a cool head. Warm heart, cool head. Warm heart, cool head. It's got to be warm in your heart so you're warm and you're kind and you're tender to other people around you. But you have to keep a cool head about things. I mean, it's kind of like, Stephen, in your situation with work, I'm sure there's times at work that you cannot keep a cool head. I mean, you're dealing with some fun people at work from time and again. I mean, there's times even in my job where I'm dealing with people, customers that think they know better than I do. Maybe they do, but generally speaking, they don't. And, you know, the old adage is the customer's always right. They're usually not right. They're usually wrong. But yet, I'm still getting paid by them, so I have to do what they would like me to do, even though sometimes it is even wrong. And for me, that grinds my gears, because I can't stand doing something backwards that I know is going to fail in the long run. But again, the customer is the one who's paying the bill. So this whole thing on wrath, keeping a cool head about things is very challenging. But you know what I found with a lot of people that have mastered that is that, like, it doesn't matter what comes down life's journey for them. They can just always, like, it's like they always roll with the punches. Nothing really gets them bent out of shape. I mean, and that's what, you know, I think of my Grandma D a lot when I think of that, you know, having a warm heart and a cool head. I never really saw my grandmother get upset, ever. I mean, Grandpa D, that's the complete opposite. I mean, Grandpa D, you tick him off, man, he would shove a garden hose down your throat. I saw it before. I mean, when he got, he would get mad. He would get angry. Grandma D, complete opposite. I never really saw her get upset. She always had a cool head about her. You know, she was all, no matter what it was, whether it's, you know, her husband literally cutting into his face with a chainsaw or falling off a ladder in the apple orchard and have to crawl up for basically like 2 hours to get to the house, and then, you know, losing a daughter and going through a church split. She was never a hothead about anything. She always like dwelt upon it and she prayed about it before she would like, you know, answer something very, I guess, very big in her life. Verse number 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. What is superfluity? Superfluity is overdoing a thing, doing a thing in excess. And receive the meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, verses 21 through the end of the chapter are talking mainly about what's going to happen in the tribulation. Verse number 22, and be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Does verse 22 apply to Christians today? Sure, but he's talking mainly to Jews in the tribulation. How does it apply to us? Because as a Christian, you should practice what you preach. If you believe the Bible, you should try to live what the Bible says. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If you are going to talk the talk, then you should walk the walk. Deceiving your own selves. Well, what does that mean? If I deceive myself by not doing the word but hearing it only. He's not talking about in reference to your, for a Christian, it's not in reference to salvation, but it's in reference to your fellowship. If you do not do the word and just hear the word, you are not going to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Period. I mean, Christians nowadays, it's kind of like this. I have people that are in my extended family that no longer go to church because they think that God is done with the church and the church is over and this, that, and the other, and God has moved on from the church, even though that Paul wrote nothing but to the church and for the church, and he talks about the care of all the churches, yet they've gotten away from the whole like idea of a church. Well, I hate to break it to you. If you're not in church, you're not doing what the Word says. And if you're not doing what the Word says, you are in fact deceiving yourself because you think you're a Christian, you think you're in fellowship with God, but you're not even doing the very basics. I mean, the very basics is I have to show up to church. I have to get preached at. If I don't get preached at, I'm not getting fixed. I mean, I think about it. I try on a weekly basis, not just from what you hear here at church. I try to listen to at least 1 to 3 sermons every week of preaching outside of this church. Why is that? Because it's beneficial to me. It helps me to keep my mind where it needs to be. It helps me to walk the walk. But not just that. The more I listen to good godly music, the more I listen to Bible preaching, the more likely I am to not just hear the word, but also to do the word, because it's a constant reminder. You know, I think of this. The old man, he used to listen to preaching like around the clock. I think of Brother Peacock. Brother Peacock does the same thing. He listens to preaching all the time. You know why? Because generally speaking, when you're listening to preaching, you tend not to sin because you're thinking about what the preacher's preaching on. You tend to focus more about doing the word and not just hearing it only. Verse number 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. He's talking about looking in the mirror, okay? Verse number 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What happens when you don't do the word? What happens when you don't try to apply the Bible to your own life? You forget where you came from. And what I mean by that is when you get away from the Word of God and you get away from Bible preaching and teaching, what tends to happen is you forget what God saved you from. You forget about how wretched of a sinner you were back when you got saved, back in your younger years, or what happened in your past, whatever it may be. But the thing is, it's kind of like this, verse number 24. He beholdeth himself. That means he's looking in the mirror. And what does he do? He just goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. You forgot where God saved you from. what God took you from, where your life could be today if it weren't for salvation, if it weren't for the Bible, if it weren't for preaching and teaching, where would you be at today? And you know what? That should be something that you never forget, the fact that, you know, what God saved you from. I mean, I think of myself, and I honestly believe this. I think that if I did not get saved October 4th, 1996, if I didn't get saved when I was a young kid, I would probably be dead or in prison right now. I guarantee it. Say, how can you say that? You know, this, that, and the other. I know what kind of person I am. I know what kind of past I have. I know what God saved me from. And I honestly believe this. If God did not save me, I would be a wreck. You cannot forget about what manner of man that you were. How do you do that? Well, you have to hold your natural face in a glass daily. You need to look in the book daily. The word of God is likened unto a mirror, and you need to look in that mirror to see what's wrong with my face today. You know, what needs to be fixed in me today? Verse number 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, that means daily, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, that means run your mouth. That means talk about people behind their back. That means backstabbing, backbiting. Tattlers is what he talks about in 1 Timothy, I believe it is. But deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That means that it doesn't matter how much money you give the church, doesn't matter how much you come to church, doesn't matter how many souls you win to Christ, doesn't matter if you went to PBI or some other Bible institute, doesn't matter how many classes you take, doesn't matter how many times you've read your Bible through, if you cannot keep your mouth shut, your religion is vain. And what does it say? Your heart, you have deceived your own heart because you think that I'm above being able to backbite and talk smack and trash about everybody else, and I can get away with it because I'm different. No, you're just like everybody else. Verse number 27, great verse. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. So now God is going to define to you what is religion. It's not the Catholic Mass. It's not church membership. It's not church attendance. What is it? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's two things. What are the two things? Help people that are less fortunate than you. People that don't have dads, people that don't have moms, people that lost a spouse, that lost a kid, that lost somebody in their life that was close to them, people that don't have as much money as you or aren't as smart as you or maybe are a little bit mentally deficient compared to you or that they just aren't, like it says there, in their affliction, people that have more affliction than you. And side note, to keep himself unspotted from the world. How it's like what he says. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 22. You have a commandment written there. Keep thyself pure, is what he says there. Chapter number 2, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel. So he's talking about someone who's rich, someone who's got costly clothing on. And there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. That means someone else comes in and they're wearing sweatpants or my personal favorite when you go to the airport and people are walking around town with their pajama pants on and their neck pillow and sackcloth and rags and burlap and whatever it may be. Verse number 3, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. There it is, the gay clothing. What does gay mean? Homosexual? Nope. What is it? Happy clothing, flamboyant clothing, if you will. I mean, for instance, tonight, if I were to say that Jess's dress is gay in apparel, I would not be wrong in speaking in that because not because it's rainbow colored, but just because it's very vibrant. It's very alive. It's very alive. It's very flamboyant. It's right up there, man. Top notch. If ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here there, or sit here under my footstool. So he's basically saying preferential treatment, talking about verse number 1, respect of persons. You're giving incorrect respect unto rich people versus poor people. Should you respect rich people more than poor people? No, you should not. They're the same kind of people. And you know what I've learned in my short life of working in fancy houses with rich people? Rich people probably have more problems than the poor people. Just because somebody's rich and dresses nice and has a nice car and a nice house and the 2.4 children and whatever it is, just because they have that going on for them does not mean that they are above affliction, problems, trouble, trials, tribulations. They probably actually have more. Verse number 3, write down Luke 14. Luke 14, 7 through 14. Verse number 4, are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Write down 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, 5 through 10. Verse number 5, he says this, hearken, my beloved brethren, talking about prejudiced Jews. Now, think about it. What are Jews known for? Jews are known for being very good with money, right? Notice what he's saying, my beloved brethren. Why is he saying it that way? Well, he knows exactly how Jews were in his time when he's writing this. Jews are preferential. They would rather hang around the rich guy because they might have some of the rich guy's riches fall onto them rather than hang around a poor guy like Lazarus, if you will. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? So he's talking again. Tribulation is all about if you're poor, you're going to go to heaven. If you're rich, you're going to hell. Because in the tribulation, in order to have anything, you have to have the mark of the beast in your forehead or in your right hand, which means if you have that mark, you can be rich. You can still sell and buy and trade and go to the grocery store and get gas at the gas station. If you're poor, if you don't have that, guess what? You can't buy anything, you can't sell anything, which means you're probably going to starve to death or you have to live off the land, but you're going to be poor nonetheless. And that's the whole thing of this back and forth in the book of James. Rich people are going to hell, poor people are going to heaven. That's because it's tribulation and not current. Verse number 6. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Basically, he's saying this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, whether they're rich or they're poor, if they're ugly, if they're pretty, if they smell good, if they smell bad, they have no hygiene, doesn't matter. There's no conditions on love thy neighbor. You're just supposed to love your neighbor, period. Verse number 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. What he's talking about there in verse number 10 is that if you break one point of the Ten Commandments, you're guilty of all the Ten Commandments. So, of course, you know, you'll be talking to people and they'll say, well, I never killed a man. Are you sure about that? Because Jesus Christ takes it to the nth degree in the New Testament. He says, if you hate your brother, you've killed him in your heart. You thought about it. Well, I never stole a man's wife. Yeah, but what does the Bible say about that? If a man lusts after a woman, he commits adultery in her heart. In his heart, I should say. It's no different. So the thing is, what he's trying to say is, if you break one thing of the Ten Commandments, you're guilty of the whole law. You've broken all of it. And the easiest one to break is probably covetousness. I mean, right? Or idolatry. Idolatry is pretty easy to break. Verse number 11, for he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which one you break. You break one, you break all. Verse number 12, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Write down these cross references for verse number 12. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans 3, 24. Romans 8, 2. Romans 8, 2. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Romans 13, 8 through 10. And lastly, Galatians 5, verses 13 and 14. Verse number 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy, and that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. We will pick it up next week in verse number 14. Any questions over what we covered tonight?
What were the first two references with the last set of references?
3:24, Romans 3:24, Romans 8:2, Romans 13, 8 through 10, and Galatians 5, 8 through 10. Galatians 5, 13 and 14. Now we're out of battery. Look at that. Perfect time.